This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
It's 6 o'clock and time again for Brain Matters, the official radio show of the UA Counseling Center. We are broadcasting from the campus of the University of Alabama. Good evening. My name is Dr. BJ Gunther, and I'm the host of the show along with my colleague and producer, Catherine Howell. And in case you don't know, this show is about mental and physical health issues that affect college students, in particular UA students. So you can listen to us each Tuesday night at 6 p.m. on 90.7 FM, or you can listen online at wvuafm.ua.edu. You can also download the MyTuner radio app and type in WVUA FM 90.7 and hopefully be able to listen to us that way. If you have any ideas for upcoming show topics, please email those to me at brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. And of course, I'll consider using your idea. I think I said this last week, and I try to say this every week. We are booked up for the remaining few shows that we have for the fall semester, but we're always needing some innovative ideas, different ideas, maybe even the traditional college mental health topics such as time management, stress management, roommate issues. And so if you come up with any ideas that we haven't covered yet, or maybe it's been a while since we've covered it and we need to talk about trends with college mental health, email those to me. Again, it's Brain Matters Radio at wvuafm.ua.edu. Excuse me, I've just gotten over the flu, and it's horrible. If you haven't had a flu shot, or if you've been exposed to it and gotten it like I did, probably at Disney World, which is where I was last week, it's pretty bad. But I'm feeling better. It's hard sometimes to get a breath, you know. So tonight's topic is interesting. It's one that really, I don't remember covering this in all the, you know, shows that we've done. Maybe we have in passing, but I don't know if we've done a show just specifically on assertiveness. Assertiveness as part of being successful in college. Many college students find it difficult to express their feelings honestly and openly because they don't display assertiveness. And this can become a problem, you know, when building a relationship, going out into the career world, or communicating with friends, family members, and even coworkers. That can be a real issue. And I see it probably daily here at the Counseling Center when I'm talking to college students. My guest tonight is joining us from San Francisco, David Tuttle. David served in multiple positions in residential and student life, including Dean of Students, over a 40-year career. And he started Prosper Collegiate, which stands for Professional Student Parent Educational Resources for College Students. David, thanks for being on the show.
Dr. Gunther, thank you for having me, and I assume that you will not be a spokesperson for Disney World.
No. I mean, that is a Petri dish. That's what I'm calling it, a Petri dish, it was just wonderful. I had a great time. I didn't feel bad when I was there, but about 3 days when I got back, boom, it hit me.
Well, I'm glad you're bouncing back.
I am bouncing back. Tell us a little bit. You know, I made the introduction that you were Dean of Students and involved in student life. Where were you the Dean of Students? What colleges have you been employed at?
Well, I've been at a number of schools over my career, Syracuse University, Wisconsin, Madison, and Platteville. But honestly, Trinity University in San Antonio is where I spent the bulk of my career, 33 years,
wow,
and had the good fortune of having a mentor and supervisor who liked me enough to keep me there and keep moving me through different positions there. So,
So you can understand what I'm talking about with assertiveness. I mean, it doesn't matter the generation. I don't think it matters. I mean, you know, I was talking with somebody today, another colleague today, about some students can come across as, I don't know if the word's aggressive, maybe aggressive, but really not be assertive and really not take up for themselves like they should. You know, do you agree with that? Can you see that?
I do. And I think with this generation of students, it's a little tricky because of social media and different things. And because I wouldn't say it's performative, but so much of what gets said and how it's said gets evaluated, I think.
Yes, yes.
That what students and others end up doing is maybe not dealing assertively with the right person, but more with an audience. And that's where you see more conflict and anger and things like that.
Yes. Yeah. They're too worried about what everybody's thinking.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I can give you a little bit of an example of, well, I'll talk about my daughter. So I have four kids, ages 20 to 30, right? So my youngest is a sophomore in college, and she was working at her grocery store last night at where she's employed as doing checkout, and somebody was short 50 cents. So she said, "I'll spot you the 50 cents." And then the guy said, "Okay." Then he punched in that he wanted cash back, $20. And so she gave him 20 bucks. And so, and she let us know, transfer me some of my money so I can pay for this. Right. But she would rather take her hard-earned money and give it to a complete stranger because she didn't want to feel bad for saying no.
Right.
And so, you know, and you see this a lot with college student life. Think about roommates, right? And I would deal with roommate conflicts all the time.
Oh, yes.
And say to somebody, well, you know, why would you go sleep in the lounge because your roommate is having somebody over to hook up with? You know, this is, you are putting their needs far above yours, and but they don't want to seem like they're not cool about that.
No.
Right. And so getting students to take that leap to stand up for themselves, to advocate for themselves, can be a challenge sometimes.
Big time. And it ends up building up, because I think it affects their self-esteem. Really, it really does, because then they don't feel good about themselves and they don't understand why they're getting run over or being treated like a doormat. That's what a lot of them tell me, you know. Hey,
absolutely. And at the end of the day, it really does. The whole issue of assertiveness does come down to self-esteem and self-worth, and saying, okay, I'm not going to take this, right? And to be able to then put that into action. And you know, we can talk later about, you know, some ways that people can do that effectively.
Sure, sure. I forgot to ask you, the first question I usually have for my guests are, tell the listeners about yourself, which I introduced you a little bit, but about your credentials. And also about Prosper Collegiate. What is Prosper Collegiate?
Well, it's, so I officially retired a year and a half ago, and then earlier this year wanted to kind of strike out on my own and do some consulting. You know, I would assist students. I didn't deal with our academic honor code at Trinity. And so, but students would come to me as dean of students and say, you know, this is what's happening and I don't feel like I'm being heard or whatever. And so I would not want to be in conflict with my colleagues in academic affairs, but what I could do is coach students through reading policies and procedures and assisting them to make sure that those things are being followed and that they're being treated fairly. And so as a dean of students, I've dealt with student conduct, with Title IX violations, you know, residential life, hazing, a number of different things, right? And so so I'm trying to make myself available to assist parents and students when they're facing issues and they need an advocate, a non-legal advocate, because a lot of times people will go right to, well, we're going to get an attorney. And and sometimes I think they need somebody who speaks more the language of higher education.
Exactly.
So that's the idea of the consulting, and one way to you know, these people are not clustered together, you know, in groups, right, that you can get to them. So I'm trying to communicate with parents through different web pages and newsletters and writing about a lot of things and trying to get some exposure that way. It's slow going right now, but I've got some other things to
When are you going to write your book, David?
My book about?
About parenting college students.
Yeah, you know what?
Could you?
I could probably.
I think you could.
And you don't have to be a parent to be an effective dean of students or ally for college students. But I can tell you, being a parent of four who've gone through, whether persistent or not, going through college, is that it does help when you can empathize with parents and say, I understand because I'm dealing with that same thing too, right? So for years I wrote a blog as dean of students and explored different issues related to the university and higher education and social justice and things like that. And so so I do like to write. I don't know if I got a book in me, but there are some great resources out there. We can talk about those later where I can tell you great stuff.
Your website's a great resource. The articles you have written, that is actually Catherine, I think, was doing some research for the topic and came across your website and your article, Assertiveness is the Secret Sauce, which you talk about dropping your four kids off at college, but also and also being the dean of students and your experience. But one of the things you say in all of these cases, the number one skill students need to survive and thrive is assertiveness.
Indeed. Well, because it cuts across so many areas. We've already touched on some of those, but you know, students can and have kind of sublimated themselves to others to the point of it having dire consequences. I think of hazing in particular, going along with the group, and you know, most policies say, you know, any activities have to be voluntary. Well, is it the psychological draw to belong is so strong that people will engage in behaviors that put them at serious risk and even death. And so the consequences, you know, that's the far end of the consequences, right? But then even the smaller things of just, you know, standing up for oneself with a professor or with a staff member in an office.
That's right.
Just saying, these are, you know, I'm a person, I matter, these are my rights. And you know, it's just... And finally, you know, as you mentioned, I think just in relationships and socially, I know you just did a broadcast on communication and relationships, but it's huge in that. And so, I just think it can have a major impact on somebody's college experience and their day-to-day life.
Yes. And you know, I think some students just want to avoid confrontation. Mm-hmm. At all costs. They don't want to have any confrontation. They don't want to rock the boat at all. And they feel like, and this may be true because I have seen, and I know you have too, especially with roommates, you've mentioned that there's usually one person in the house or in the dorm room or in that, you know, living setting that rules the roost, I say. They usually are the bossy ones. They're the ones that the other people, the other roommates, are either intimidated by, or they're afraid to confront, or even afraid to be assertive because that other roommate will see that as aggression, and it will escalate it sometimes.
Right, right. And the irony in that is that sometimes when a student says, well, I don't want to speak up because I don't want to seem like I'm not cool, or, you know, like I'm making a bigger deal out of this.
Exactly.
But if they do speak up, the other people, the kind of the bystanders, you know, they may secretly be saying to themselves, I wish I could stand up for myself like that. Right. And so, you know, but I think there is such a fear of being seen as aggressive, and it's really, And you don't want to be aggressive, right? And you don't want to be perceived that way. But there really is a continuum, as you know, I'm sure, from being passive to being assertive to being aggressive. And so I think finding yourself in that middle ground of being appropriately assertive is where we need to kind of coach students towards.
Hey, let's take our first break. And then when we come back, we might take some email questions. But also, I want to talk about and see what you think. I have an issue with some of my students that is, I think it's a trend with this generation right now. So when we come back, let's talk about that. That's a little teaser for those listening. We'll be right back. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Dr. BJ Gunther. We're talking tonight about assertiveness as a part of success in college. And my guest is David Tuttle. David is a retired student life, residential life, dean of students at many several colleges. So he has tons of experience working with students and student life. And he has a wonderful website to help parents, it seems like, really, that's mostly parents and mentors, I would say, called Prosper Collegiate. If you haven't checked it out, please check that out, because wonderful articles, one that I mentioned before the break on assertiveness. Assertiveness is the secret sauce. It's just a short, easy article, but it has some really good kind of tips and makes you think about certain things. Before we went to the break, I mentioned that I won't say this is the biggest problem that I see with some of the students who I see with regards to assertiveness, but I have several students who are afraid to use the phone. And I don't know, and it has to do with assertiveness, because, and some of it may be anxiety too, don't get me wrong, but I think it has more to do with being assertive, or maybe they've just never had to use the phone. They've always communicated via text or emails too. That's part of it too. What do you think, David? Can you speak to that?
Yeah, well, our generation is showing, right? I mean, it is just not seen by students as a viable communication means. I think I don't know that it's connected to assertiveness, but it is easier sometimes to text your feelings to somebody than to make yourself vulnerable and be in a conversation, right? And so part of it is about that, and sometimes I think people, you know, with assertiveness, there's issues of conflict avoidance, right? And so you can't avoid it. It's just easier to do it over text sometime, but it can sure derail pretty quickly if you watch anything on BuzzFeed, right? So,
you know, I just mentioned your is the website prospercollegiate.com? I can't remember.
It is, yes.
Okay, you offer so many informative articles that I just mentioned. Talk about some of the most important topics for parents of incoming college students.
Yeah, there are a lot of topics. My approach in the pieces that I write is to kind of present some issues that parents may deal with, and some specifics, and then ways that they can manage those things. Yeah. And so I try to write things that you can't really find on the web page. You know, so I did a piece on FERPA, which is the privacy regulation, and about how institutions might sometimes try to hide behind that because they confuse privacy with student records and release of those records. But sometimes you can have a conversation with somebody and say, I'm worried about my my student, and this is why. And somebody will say, well, FERPA, I can't say anything.
You're so right. You're so right. We have come across that too. Yeah.
I'm
glad you mentioned that.
Well, and so just reminding parents that some tricks to say, well, I know you care about graduation and persistence and things like that. And so this is really not about student records. This is about helping my students. So those types of pieces to maybe offer some skills or suggestions for people to have. So I did a piece that was received fairly well, I think, about whether or not a parent should track their students on, you know, with the phone apps and things.
Wow.
And so, and that resonated with a lot of parents. And then in that case, this is where my parent hat came in more than my dean of students hat, because it's very easy for people on high to say, you know, give them freedom, you know, you gotta let them be and all that. And then for me, I'm like, yeah, but I still want to know is my baby in bed tonight?
I know.
Preferably her own, right?
I just had a conversation with a student about this yesterday, and her mom is very overbearing. I'm just going to say it. I think she's too overbearing. And the student is really not doing any, you know, she's just being a student. She's really not doing anything. She works, she has a job. And if she goes off of Life 360, I'm just going to say it, you know, that gives a heads up to the mom that something's going on. It makes her very suspicious. And so we're trying to figure out what to do, like how to handle this, you know, how to set boundaries. I think that is an important topic to talk with parents about and to talk with students about, is setting boundaries and letting your child set boundaries, you know, with you, depending on what the situation is.
Yeah, well, where we landed is I let my daughter read the article before I posted it, and then wrote about that, because what we agreed upon was that she was okay with it, but if it ever got to be too much, that then we would let my wife be the one to track her, because she's not as
reactive.
She falls asleep easier than I do. Yes.
Well, are you ready to take an email question? This is a four-part email question. So it may take a little time to answer this, four parts. And maybe we've already answered some of it. How does being assertive help students get their needs met?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
So how does it help them get their needs met? Well, I think... You know, I think of it in two ways. One, I think about relational. I think relational and transactional. And so relational, it's when you're dealing with other people, of course, and you're able to say, this is what's happening, and this is how it's impacting me. And so I think that that's really important. Transactional for students would be things more like, I completed this assignment. I followed all of the suggestions. I've notated everything properly. And then I got this grade that doesn't seem to reflect what was expected on the assignment. And so I think then being evaluated properly is a way of a student getting what they need. Mm-hmm. But you know, my experience with faculty members is that they are very open to talking to students about things like that. They may have opinions about students being grade oriented and things like that, but they love those types of conversations. I don't know if that's your experience as well, that self-advocacy, like if you don't ask, you don't know. So for myself, you know, I find myself dealing with, since I've retired, I spend a lot of time talking to customer service, it seems. And so, you know, I had a problem with my coffee maker. And so called, and the person they were working off the script and they just weren't hearing me. Right.
Exactly.
And so a lot of times in those experiences, and I think students can learn from this too, as well as parents, is that, you know, it is, you can say, let me talk to somebody who, and you don't have to be aggressive and rude, and you know, people are just doing their jobs, right? But let me talk to your supervisor or somebody else, because I'm not sure I'm being heard here, right? Exactly. And so I ended up with a new coffee pot for free, right? And so,
what?
Yeah, because I was able to say to them, because I just nudged it up the ladder a little bit. You know, I one time I wrote about undercover boss, right? And I don't know if you've seen that show, what you find is that there's a disconnect between the values and the goals of the CEO and the people who are kind of the gatekeepers, a former student of mine said, the Death Eaters, right? Who just feel like that they need to, just need to kind of say no to things. Whereas the CEO would be like, oh yeah, let's just do that.
We can make that happen, right? Exactly.
Yeah, and so I think for students, sometimes it's getting to the right person.
Definitely, and I think sometimes if they're told no, they don't pursue anymore. They just give up. You know, they just quit.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I think some of that is learning how to be assertive can be modeled by parents.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that was. You know, my mother was of the generation where embarrassing her children was not a concern whatsoever for her. And so, yeah. And so, you know, you just would want to shrink into a corner. But I did learn from her some things, right? And I remember my first big assertive issue was in the housing process where the RA told us, the RA misinformed us. And so I was going to be stuck in the single sex male residence hall for another year, which socially for me was it was a big no. And so we went to the hall director and I stood my ground and basically, you know, used the broken record technique, which is what they use when they do the scripts, when you call customer service, right?
Oh, yeah.
And just keep saying that may be, however, I was told this, and this is the result of that, and this is how it's impacting me. And they made an exception. Of course, I had to camp out so I could live in a co-ed residence hall, but camped out for the housing process. But, you know, I did learn to speak up for myself, and it was because that was modeled for me appropriately or not from my mom. Yes.
And that's another element, a little bit of being assertive, is sometimes you're going to feel uncomfortable. Sometimes you're going to feel uncool. Get used to it. That's okay. In your article that I mentioned, you talk about setting an example for other people too. You touched on it a little bit at the beginning of the show with, you know, other people are watching what you're doing. If you set an example as being assertive and taking up for yourself, other people are going to think that's really cool. There's going to be some who are immature that just don't get it, that are not there yet, but many are going to respect you for that.
Yeah. I call it safe risk taking. Right. Yeah. And sometimes it's even whether you make a joke or an observation or whatever, and you say, okay, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to draw attention to that. What if they don't laugh? Things like that, right? But you don't get a payoff if you don't do those things. So you have to kind of look at the risk reward of that. But I think the idea of making a scene and being the negative center of attention, and then how fast that can spread on social media is really hard for students.
Yeah.
But I also think and maybe we'll touch more on it, I think the issue of anxiety is really a big part of it too.
Yeah, right? Definitely. Just social anxiety in general.
Yes.
Why do you think it's difficult for people to be assertive? You know, other than what we've already kind of touched on a little bit, but why is it so difficult for people in general, not just college students? You know, is it that they're worried they're going to get a no answer and they're going to have to be the broken record like you were? What do you think it is? Anxiety, maybe some of it?
Yeah, I think all of that is the, you know, it's, sometimes it comes down to this is win or lose. So if I if I stand up for myself and somebody says no, then I lose in this, and then I can't save face, right?
That's
right. And so, you know, it's such an, I think there are issues of vulnerability. You know, you make yourself vulnerable when you say, this is what I need, this is what I want. And if that doesn't resolve itself effectively for you, then you feel like, well, that was a risk not worth taking, right?
Yes. Yes.
And then one other thing is I would say, well, I'll come back to that.
Sure.
What I was going to say is I was thinking in preparation for this, you remember 9/11, right? When the first tower got hit, then the people in the second tower were told to stay put, right? And some people, their gut feeling was, I shouldn't stay put, right? And so sometimes I think, you know, and that could have and did have some, you know,
various consequences
for people, right? And so, I mean, that's an extreme example, but I think sometimes people are just reluctant to follow that inner voice. And sometimes that's the most important things they can do. You see that in sexual interactions between students too.
That's true. Let's take another break. And then when we come back, I've got another email question for you, several email questions. So I hope we get to all those. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7, The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Back listening to Brain Matters on 90.7, The Capstone. I'm Dr. BJ Gunther. We're talking about assertiveness as part of being a success at college. And my guest is David Tuttle. David founded a wonderful website, prospercollegiate.com. Go to that website. There's many articles, many resources for parents and mentors. But he also has 40 years, I hate to say that, David, but 40 years of experience in student life and as dean of students.
I don't love hearing it. Thank you.
The next email question we've got, we left off talking about why it's so difficult for people to be assertive, but here's a different spin on assertiveness. What are some tips for assertively communicating your values when they are different from your instructors?
Oh boy, that's another great question.
I know. Yeah.
And you can also, that made me immediately think about the racist uncle over the holidays, right? Or
the liberal uncle over the holidays. You could put that spin on it too. You know, just a different view.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that did not dawn on me. So it's a little all in the family, right? I think the responsibility of the professor, the faculty, is to teach students how to think and how to learn and how to be effective critical thinkers and problem solvers and things like that. I don't know that it's indoctrination as much as some people might have you believe, right?
Yeah.
But I've not met very many faculty members who don't want students to disagree with them. It's anathema to their profession, right? And so I think for students, you know, just not sitting on their hands and at least put dipping the toe into the water to express their opinions. The disagreement may come more from other people in the classroom, right?
Peers.
And so, yes. And so, but what a great skill to learn as you head into the workforce one day, right? Is to speak up and say, well, that may be, but what about this? Or is this staying true to our mission and our values and our goals. And so, so maybe experimenting in certain classes where it seems safe to speak up to a professor and then practicing that. And then I think as students get into their majors and get to know the faculty members in their departments, I think they know that they're able to
be
do
more
that.
Comfortable.
And absolutely.
Yeah.
And with relatives over the break too, sometimes the decision people have to make is this an issue I want to, raise, or a lot of times with assertiveness, you'll see that people just get fed up. Right. And so a lot of times with roommates, right, you just get to the point where you're like, okay, I've had enough, or with friendships and then they approach those things. So it's not always about just being assertive. It's about deciding what to be assertive about and when to do that. And then how to be that way.
And taking the chance too. Just taking
Absolutely.
The chance.
Right.
In your article, it one of the last sections, you asked the question, how do you coach this? How do you coach this? You know, how can parents teach their children this? I know we talked a little bit about modeling, but can you coach somebody to be assertive? I mean, I think Catherine and I deal with, I don't know if I would call it coaching, you know, but we make recommendations, we give suggestions, we work on strategies with students on how they can be assertiveness. It's really about them going out and taking some of these strategies and putting them into action and taking that risk.
Yeah, well, I think you and Catherine are doing all the right things, right? I have another daughter of mine who just is so risk averse that it takes a lot of cajoling and trying to convince. But in the end, she will have to get to the point where she decides what's worse, the consequences of not speaking up.
That's right.
Or the perceived consequences of speaking up, right?
That's a good way to put
So I, you know, just from a practical standpoint, I think if you can take the emotion out of it and you know, it's about communication and identifying with the person. Here are the issues that I'm having. I mean, you two know this, right? Here's the issues I'm having. This is how it makes me feel. This is how I would like to see it resolved. And these are the consequences if it's not resolved, right?
Yeah.
And so I can overlay that onto a roommate conflict, right? Where it's like, okay, you are constantly leaving a mess. It makes me feel like that you don't appreciate that we are cohabitants of this room and it's having an impact on me. So I would like us to say by every Sunday night that the room will be cleaned thoroughly by the end of the week. And if that doesn't happen, then the consequences will be, I may have to seek a room change. I may have to seek, an impartial person to help us with this, such as the resident assistant or advisor. And so I think coaching people and breaking it down step by step, and really the big piece is taking the emotion out and just, you know, standing up for yourself and saying, this is what I would like to see happen.
Oh yeah. And that's hard. I know that's hard. Let's get back to the email question that has three more parts. We've kind of talked a little bit about some examples of assertive communication. That was a question. What are some examples of assertive communication? I think you just gave a perfect example for a roommate scenario. How do I know if I'm being aggressive versus being assertive?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when you're being assertive, sometimes you can feel those things. You can feel your heart racing. You can feel your face getting flushed and things like that. I think probably you can tell if you are raising your voice, if you are disrespecting another person, And if you're focused on them as a person and not on their actions, right? Yes. And so I think being able to say, this is what you're doing, you know, and I don't like it. You're not saying you're a terrible person or you're a terrible roommate, but these are the behaviors that you're exhibiting.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. But it's so hard for this age group to do that. It turns into drama, you know, and that's when it gets fun for us at the counseling center.
Oh yeah, and then other parties get pulled into it, yeah. You know, and so, you know. Here's another way that I look at it, and I see this. I used to deal with issues in the dining hall, right, where parents would complain about that the food's not edible. And so,
oh, really?
So,
wow.
Yeah. And, you know, one time I went down and filmed the food that was being served that day and posted it on the parent Facebook page to say, this looks pretty good to me, right? So that's my assertive side coming through. But what I try to coach parents to tell their kids is to give feedback that is specific, immediate, and direct, right? So taking a picture of your chicken fingers, posting it on social media or sending it to your parent and having your parent call the dean of students and then tell the dean of students that the food's inedible is not an effective strategy. But if you go to the manager on call and say, I received, you know, this was what I got and it's cold or it has a hair or a bug on it or whatever. Yeah. And this is and so you're being direct, you're being specific, and you're doing it right at the moment, right? And wow. I think this can apply to a lot of things. If you just use those three criteria, that's far more effective. And then I'll say to students, well, why don't you do that? And they'll be like, well, I don't want to make them feel bad. I don't want other people to look at me, right? And so that's when, you know, making that leap that you mentioned before about just taking that risk. I mean, and you don't have to, you're not being aggressive about it. You're just saying, here's what's going on. And the dining staff, they love that far more because then they can fix the problem for other students
That's
going
right.
through the line far more than just saying, I hate you. I hate your dining services.
I mean, the best thing for a parent to do is when that kid calls them is to say, no, you need to take care of this. And here's how you can do it. I'm not going to call for you. Because that student has been so used to the mom doing this kind of stuff for them, to be honest. You know, we get that here at the counseling center and we don't even serve food. So, yeah.
Well, and I used to say to parents, you know, when the success of your student is in the balance, call somebody. But if it's about the food or the temperature in the room or things like that, let them practice.
But what do you do? Here's another question. What do you do if a parent struggles with being assertive?
Well, when I meet one, I will let you know.
You get it, David.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of mama bear stuff. And I would say to our parents, like, I don't believe in the whole helicopter parent
bulldozer.
Thing or the bulldozer or the snowplow parent. You know, to me, for the emotional and financial and practical investment parents are making, you should bring them in as partners and work with them. So that's why I always enjoyed working with parents. I think they should have a voice. And so, but you can coach them, right? And sometimes they'll say, well, you told us not to call about this. I'm like, yeah I told you to call about that though. You know,
it can get confusing. The last email question I see, I think we've touched on this. How do you get over the fear of hurting someone's feelings when being assertive? That's a hard one, you know, I think it takes practice.
Yeah, well, and you mentioned before, there are plenty of people who exhibit bullying behavior who don't seem to have an issue with that, right? And so I think it is looking at things and having perspective on it, right? Just because you're delivering a message that they may not want to hear doesn't right. mean that you're hurting their feelings. It's that you're engaged in an adult, I don't know if you know transactional analysis, but an adult to adult transaction. And sometimes you just have to bring people back to, this is what we're talking about. We're not talking about you as a person. We're talking about how this is affecting me.
Let's take our last break. When we come back, I want to ask you about how mental health and assertiveness are related for college students. So you're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show host or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Back listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm BJ Gunther, and we're talking tonight about assertiveness as a part of being successful in college. And my guest is David Tuttle. David has served as Dean of Students and many other positions at various universities. His last university was Trinity in San Antonio. That's right. How big is Trinity? What's the enrollment?
It's about 2,500 students.
And you just retired, what, about a year and a half ago, did you say?
Correct.
And focusing mostly on prospercollegiate.com, wonderful place to land for resources. And I want to ask you a little more about resources in a minute. But how does assertiveness help with mental health while in college and after college? We touched a little on anxiety. We didn't really get a whole lot into that.
Yeah, well, I'll say a little bit about that, but I think of assertiveness as kind of the gateway behavior into so many other things, and I think it can have once a person feels empowered, and we haven't really talked about even bystander action, right? Which I'm sure you're aware of, but so when you're empowered to stand up for yourself and to stand up for others and to stand up for justice and social justice, you gain confidence, you practice it, and then your anxiety may lessen, and then your confidence may grow even more, and you start aiming towards self-actualization, right? And so I think it is definitely related, but I do think with anxiety, one of the things, and it's not that old, in the last 15 years, I remember the first time a student came to me and said, well, I stopped going to class, so I didn't go back to class because it was humiliating that I missed class.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And because the clear thinker would say, well, I should go back to class and get moving on this, right? But that was the beginning of me discovering, you know, how challenging anxiety is for people that they would avoid things to their own detriment, right? That
that's
avoidance
exactly
behavior.
Right.
And that's a major element of anxiety. So it took me a while to learn that and to explain to parents, because they weren't getting it either. And I said, I know, but you know, it's bad when they feel like, okay, I'm just going to do this delay tactic, knowing that it's not going to succeed, and they continue to do it. Right. And so I think anxiety, I consider part of the big three of you know, depression and ADD. I mean, those things are often clustered together. And so people in your profession have a challenge in helping students find their way out of those things, right? But I think the assertiveness, to some people would just never even consider standing up for themselves because it's too risky, it's too vulnerable for them, and
it's too anxiety provoking too.
It's really hard.
Yeah. If they have a propensity for anxiety, I think being assertive is one of the most important elements of self-esteem too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
We've already touched on that. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is a foundation to it, to be sure.
Big time. Tell us any more resources that you know of. Do you know of any good books, any good authors that touch on assertiveness, any good phone apps, any other podcasts?
Yes. Well, you know, I thought about that. And I thought if I was really good, I would already know some books that I've read. But I, you know, the things I've written on this topic just came more from experience. So I did Google some. If you just put into a search engine, you know, how to be assertive without being a jerk, things like that.
There you go.
Yeah. You don't need a book per se. It's a lot of the same things that we talked about. It's practical guidance on saying, here's just some things, is understanding that you have value, that you have voice, and that you can, and here are some techniques that you can use. So that would be one thing. The other is that there's a woman named Vicki Nelson, who's the Stephen King, I told her, of parent communication. She has a website called College Parent Central, I believe.
Wow.
And she is prolific in that she writes about everything parent related. And so that would be a good resource for parents, and then collegiate parents, another one. So there's a lot of great sites out there for issues for parents. But for assertiveness, I just think there's a lot of general things out there that people can search and find to help them.
Ironically, that's the topic of our show, our last show for the season. It'll be after the Thanksgiving break, is how a parent can help their student with mental health issues, you know, while they're in college, how they can be a support, I think is what I titled it. I can't remember now. Catherine, can you remember? We just go from 1 week to 1 week. David, thank you so much for being on the show. It's gone by fast, and I really appreciate it. And you've been just a wonderful guest. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for what you're doing and you know, trying to use different media to, you know, discuss important topics for students and families and colleagues. So I appreciate you having me on.
Sure. Don't forget, our shows are recorded and podcasted in their own Apple Podcasts, audioboom.com, voices.ua.edu. Just type in Brain Matters and you'll find some of our past shows. There's also a link to voices.ua.edu on our Counseling Center website at counseling.ua.edu. I always like to thank people who've made our show possible. Our executive director here at the Counseling Center, Dr. Greg Vanderwall, the director of Office of Student Media, Terry Siggers, my production assistant, and my colleague Catherine Howell, my colleagues here at the Counseling Center, the WVUA staff who edits our show, and my guest tonight, David Tuttle. Next week is Thanksgiving, so we're airing a past show, but we'll be back in 2 weeks with a new show on grief and creativity. So thanks again for listening, and we'll see you here on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Good night.
This show is not intended as a substitute for professional counseling. Further, the views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Any views, opinions, or conclusions shared on the show do not create a relationship between the host or any guest and any listener, and such a relationship should never be inferred. If you feel you're in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, please contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.